on tonight to work with them. Anyway, it's called God's Dream. Dearest child of God, what do you dream in your loveliest of dreams? Do you dream of a rainbow across the sky? Do you dream about being free to do what your heart desires, or being treated like a full person no matter how young you might be? Do you know what God dreams of? Close your eyes and look into your heart, dear child. God dreams about people sharing. God dreams about people caring. God dreams that we reach out and hold one another's hands and play one another's games and laugh with one another's hearts. But God doesn't force us to be friends or to love one another. Dear child, it does happen that we get angry and hurt one another. Then we feel sad and very alone. Sometimes we cry, and God cries with us. But when we say sorry and forgive one another, we wipe away our tears and God's tears too. Each of us carries a piece of God's heart within us, and when we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. When we love one another, the pieces of God's heart are made whole. There's more, but the grown-ups aren't going to find out what it is. But you are. Now we're going to sing. We're going to sing. Let there be love shared among us.
Therefore, Peter has to explain this thing
to the church in Jerusalem, and they have to make some tough choices. Jean Thompson will read this passage to us.
Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. Peter's report to the church at Jerusalem. The apostles and the other believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. When Peter went to Jerusalem, those who were in favor of circumcising Gentiles criticized him, saying, "You were a guest in the home of uncircumcised Gentiles, and you even ate with them." So Peter gave them a complete account of what had happened from the very beginning. "While I was praying in the city of Joppa, I had a vision. I saw something coming down that looked like a large sheet being lowered by its four corners from heaven, and it stopped next to me. I looked closely inside and saw domesticated and wild animals, reptiles and wild birds. Then I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Certainly not, Lord. No ritually unclean or defiled food has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke again from heaven, 'Do not consider anything unclean that God has declared clean.' This happened three times, and finally the whole thing was drawn back up into heaven. At that very moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to go with them without hesitation. These six fellow believers from Joppa accompanied me to Caesarea, and we all went into the house of Cornelius. He told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send someone to Joppa for a man whose full name is Simon Peter. He will speak words to you by which you and all your family will be saved.' And when I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came down on them, just as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' It is clear that God gave those Gentiles the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I then to try to stop God?" When they heard this, they stopped their criticism and praised God, saying, "Then God has given to the Gentiles also the opportunity to repent and live." Amen.
If you know that you are going to die imminently, then the words that you say, you're going to talk about some important stuff, aren't you? So, words when we know these words of Jesus are from the very end of his life. So what's happened just before these words? There's been the washing of the feet, and then the very first line just before this is, Judas goes out, and it is night. Judas goes out to betray. Goes out to betray. So the door slams shut behind him. Jesus knows where this is heading. And in that context, he says this. And Barbara Fielding will read this passage to us.
Acts reading is from John chapter 13, verses 31 to 35. After Judas had left, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man's glory is revealed. Now God's glory is revealed through him. And if God's glory is revealed through him, then God will reveal the glory of the Son of Man in himself. And he will do so at once. My children, I shall not be with you very much longer. You will look for me, but I tell you now what I told the Jewish authorities. You cannot go where I am going. And now I give a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. If you have love for one another, then everyone will know that you are my disciples."
Just before I actually start, I want to talk to you about, if you're a person and you find it difficult to understand the spoken English word, obviously spoken in the correct accent, the spoken English word, then the sermon is available at the back. You can pick it up and you can follow it through. If you are a person who finds sermons just difficult, what I'm going to do from here on in is I'm going to write some questions for you to think about and reflect on while I'm speaking, which I think come from the text. So it could be that what you need to do is you need to use the time to reflect on those questions, let them roll around your head, and just tune me out as though I was a bad day on Radio 4. Okay? Yeah. So just tune me out and reflect on these questions. So that's, you've got three options. You can just listen to me without any words, you can listen to me with a script, you can ignore me and reflect on these questions. Sheesh, you can ignore me anyway. I stand before you as a person. Now just look, please, just look at me. I know you'll think I'm lovely. But you also have got eyes to see, and you're looking at me thinking, she could do with losing a bit of weight. And that is true. And having said that, knowing that I'm a person who's overweight, we will now continue. I know it's about the message of what Peter says to the church in Jerusalem. I know that that is about the good news that nobody is outside of the love of God. That the old distinctions between Jew and Gentile, clean and unclean, I know that that means that that distinction is over, and the good news is that all are included. The list is not an inclusive list. There are other excluded animals that are mentioned in the Old Testament, but enough of a generalization to make the point. All people are welcome in the kingdom of God, whatever that means. All people are welcome in the kingdom of God, and none, because of their essential nature, are to be considered by followers of Jesus as unclean, inedible, outside. I know that. However, what I want to do this morning is I want to take it literally. Is it true that when you are a Christian, you can eat anything? Most Christians don't follow the dietary rules of Judaism. Some do, but most don't. I would like to talk to you about Pastor Steve Willis from Huntingdon, West Virginia. And he decided that as a pastor of a local church, it was his job to teach his people what they should be eating. The people of Huntingdon, West Virginia, are the fattest people in the world. And he was a pastor in one of those churches. And he got sick of being beside the beds in the intensive care unit of young adults who were dying before their time. He got sick of it, and he decided that he was going to do something about it. The good news of Jesus Christ, that we are free to make our choices, is not always easy. And actually really, in the living of life, sometimes it's not a blessing, it's a curse. If I can do anything, please tell me what I'm meant to do. And there are spiritual seekers who say, do you know what, I'd be happy with Islam, because they've got rules, and all this freedom is just too much for me. So, in Huntingdon, West Virginia, 50% of the adults are obese. And Pastor Willis describes how he got sick of being with the younger adults as they died, and people saying, well, I guess it was his time. And he said he wanted to shout, no, it was not his time. And he got sick and tired of ministering to people who took their freedom as a follower of Jesus as an excuse to eat whatever they wanted and pull on the pan. So he said to his elders, I'm sick of this. I'm going to have to do something about it. I'm going to have to speak to the people. And the elders said, the leaders of this community said, right, you can speak to them about anything you like. You can speak to them about adultery, about murder, about stealing, anything you like, but you cannot speak to them about that. He said, okay, let's pray about it. He comes back and they said to him, Pastor Steve, even if it is your last week in this church, you've got to speak to us about it. Because they were aware. He said that to them. They opened their eyes and looked at what was going on in their community. And so he did. And then what happened was Jamie Oliver arrived. And they worked together in their community to get things going. And the rest is history. If you speak to people about their problem, they will leave your church. That's what the elders were saying. And people do hop from church to church. They do it. If they have the sense that somebody is getting to the core of them, it is easier to leave that church and go somewhere else and be superficial somewhere else. So what about the words then of Jesus about loving and the powerful witness of loving? By the way you love one another, everyone will know that you are my disciples. There is power in the way that we treat each other. And that is the way that you treat the home team as well as the visitors. In these verses in John, we move from the washing of the feet, the most servile of things, to the farewell discourses. And Jesus says, I leave you a command, not an option, tick, press one, four. No, I leave you a command that you, if you are my disciples, you will love one another. Love one another. And this loving of one another is reflection of what is going on in the Godhead. That God loves God, and that love moves and flows. That interaction, which is our understanding of God. And that love is the Now, ebb and flow is about the way that people relate to each other. We will love one another. Now, what does loving mean? The tagline, of course, is, we can't be nice, we've got to be loving. Don't be nice, be loving. Okay? It's true. If you really love, you've got to move beyond niceness. Like the pastor in Huntingdon. Move beyond niceness. The nice thing to do is to shake everybody their hand and minister to them when they're in intensive care. The loving thing to do is to say, hello, we have a problem. However, I want to say right at the beginning that sometimes in the way that we behave to one another, niceness would be pretty marvelous. Loving, just because you can see just by looking at me, she could do it shedding a few pounds, does not mean that I want you to be forming a line to say, good morning, Fatty, how are you doing? I don't want to. Because by the time there's more money, you'll be on the police and I'll be in trouble. Right, okay, we don't want that. Niceness, politeness, courtesy, love, delicacy, generosity of spirit. Those are also the attributes of the spirit. If I have a truth that I want to tell, I don't just say, how are you? Fatty, get over here. You don't do that. If I actually want to communicate with you in a way that I will love you and I will build you up, I start with, how can I communicate with you in a way that affirms you and doesn't just say to me, said marvellous. Got that off my chest. Hooray. That doesn't get anybody anywhere. Just gets one person crumpled up on the floor. It's not good. So, loving is not the same as just common courtesy. But let's not just think that loving somebody, you know, that whole thing. I remember one of the moderators used to say, when he was working in a local church, if somebody came up to him and said, brother, I just thought I'd better say this in love. He knew there was a knife heading into his back. I've just got to say this to you in love. You know, that meant that he'd be stabbed. If you love someone and you can see that they're messing up, don't you have to think that maybe you have to say something?
Do something.
You don't just walk around saying it to everybody willy-nilly. But if you really love somebody, don't you have to, at some point, doesn't somebody have to say something? And of course, there is a whole bunch of stuff that we would never say to one another, because we're all so polite. You know, to say to somebody, you're drinking too much. When somebody turns up for a meeting in the evening and you can smell alcohol on them, and you know they've driven there, and nobody says anything, is that loving? Or if we know that somebody is not giving to the life of the church, as we know they've got the resources, and we never say anything. We can't talk in objective lumps of cash, because some people are really struggling and some people are doing very well, thank you very much. And we never individually challenge people. Is that loving? Haven't they been given this resource as stewards? Is that loving? Story to finish. Christian people are like hedgehogs. They need each other, and they need each other in the dark, cold night. And they need each other's warmth, and they need to get close. But as they get close, they're hedgehogs. It's prickly. It's painful. They need each other's warmth, because if they part, the cold night could be too much, and one of them might die. They need to be close. But if they are close, there are prickles, and there is pain. To be sensitive to each other as we move close. To remember that we need that warmth. To learn how to cope with the prickles of other people. And also to remember the teaching of Jesus, who said, and I paraphrase, the world needs the sign of hedgehogs. Let us be still. We're going to sing. If you are using a hymn book, we're going to sing 498. We join to sing, "Let us build a house where love can dwell."
Thank you.
And this week we've been bombarded with news from home and from overseas. The political news, personal news, the tragic and the trivial. Images, the stories, and some of it we just, it's too much, and some of it lingers in the mind. We hold before God those news stories that are on our minds this morning. And last week, there was other news. Maybe it was the earlier chapter of some long-running story. Maybe it was a one-day wonder. Maybe it was a tragedy that's history for us, but just as sharp and as painful for the sufferer. So let us remember before God those stories that were on our minds last week. This time next week, the papers will be full of new stories. We will have new images on our screens. There will be new faces looking out at us. And at this moment, many of them do not know that this is going to happen. Hold up before God those whose lives are going to be turned upside down this week. Oh God, set your blessing on us all as we begin this week together. On our world, our church, our community, our family and our friends. Heal your suffering ones. Raise up your broken ones. Inspire your joyful ones and give yourself afresh to us as with all our sisters and brothers, we who gather before you in hope. We pray. for Jesus' sake. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Bless, O God, all the resources that you have given to us. Our health, our relationships, our compassion and our intellect, our energy and our weakness, our money, our time. May we use all the gifts that you have given for your ways. Guide us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Feeling a little so warm and including I am, letting the man wear an England top and not say anything. How generous. Beyond the project, somebody with an England top into membership. We're going to sing our last hymn is the one that Maggie would pick every week if we let her. Love Divine or Love's Excelling. I should explain that the Dave, no, what was that thing we sang? That was, no, it's not Day by Day, it was, come on, we all sang it. The thing we sang at the end of the sermon. Got me in my head. We sang that because for Alan. Alan's another one. He would pick the hymn every week if we let him. So, you know, the competition is out there. The opportunities with everybody. Yada, yada, yada. We're going to sing Love Divine. And because Alan, we sang one thing for Alan, we're going to sing it at the tune that is Maggie's choice. So, here we go. You know, what is it, six? Six, six, three. Enjoy to sing. the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with those whom we love, wherever they are.